This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Glad that you're here this morning. If you have your Bible, you can open them with me to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. And man, we're just excited about what God is doing. We believe this year is going to be the greatest year that we've ever experienced as a church. We believe this can be your greatest year as well. God is faithful. How many of you know God is faithful even when we've been unfaithful? Come on, somebody. And so whatever you're facing, I believe there's a word from God here this morning to encourage you, to lift you up. And it's just going to be an amazing thing. And we're hoping that the Golden State Warriors get their stuff together and, just get their stuff together and win another championship. Stop being divas and come on, let's get it going. And thank God the Niners have hope this year in Jesus' name. Jimmy Garoppolo is back and healthy, and all the loudmouth Raider fans, bless you in Jesus' name. We love the Raiders too because Derek Carr is a man of God. So I love that. So it's gonna be a fun year around the Bay. And so if you're a sports lover, you are welcome here. And if you are not, you are welcome here. But we're glad you're here. So let's look at this together. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 27, and it reads this way. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men, followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when Jesus had come to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" I love that. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Now, this is Jesus. Nothing's impossible for him. He's a miracle worker. Still getting a little ring out here, guys, so just kind of work with me. Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Someone say, "Yes, Lord."
Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Then Jesus touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith." Notice that. "According to your faith, let it be to you." So notice these men's faith was directly connected to their miracle. Their faith was directly connected to their miracle, receiving from Jesus what they could receive from no one else. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." I want to pray, and we'll give you the title, and we'll get right into it this morning. Jesus, we ask you this morning to, whatever's going on in people's lives, just that walls would come down, that they would open themselves up to your word, not to what a man would say, but to what you've said from your word. And we thank you that you would speak to us, that you would build us up in faith, that you would bring revelation to us and answers to questions. God, I know that there's people in this place that are having an incredible year, but I also know that there's people in this place that are having difficulties and they've been dealing with heartache and hurt and pain. And so we just ask that, Jesus, you come and be who you are. You're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're the restorer. And we ask that this morning that miracles would take place. That, Father, whatever's wrong, we ask you to make it right. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too difficult for you. And we ask you that we would be changed, that we would be made better, that we would be better by the time that we leave because you are good and our faith is in you. And we know that you are able and we believe we receive it. God, we thank you that not by your grace, we won't just be hearers of your word, but that we will be doers of your word in Jesus' name. And if you believe that, you can say amen. 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 So I'm kind of one of those audience participation preachers. So, and what that means is you can't just hang out this morning. Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and take that off the table. You hanging out ain't going to happen this morning. This morning you're going to participate. You can say amen. You can say that's good. You can say I need that. You can say you need that. I mean, right? You can say fix it. You can say preach it. You could even call me a white boy. Whatever you want to do, you can do. But we talk back at this church. It's not a boring church. It's not one of those that just comes and I did my duty. No, we're going to get something from God this morning. Amen? And so you be on the edge of your seat, and I promise I'll preach faster if you help me and get louder. Amen?
Amen.
It's good because, see, then it's not just my faith in operation. It's your faith in operation.
Right.
See, when you're sitting, see, y'all missed it right there. I'll stay at this for an hour if you need me to. It's my faith in operation, and it's your faith in operation. Faith needs an outlet. Faith needs to be released. Faith needs to say something, do something, express itself that I believe God. Amen? Anybody believe God in here? There we go. Starting to feel a little bit better, but here we go. So thank you for putting my message title up already and letting the cat out of the bag. Come on, somebody. They just like trying to hurry me up. Come on, preacher. Get with it. Get going. Someone say, get it all back. Ooh, I don't know about y'all, but there have been some stuff in life that I have lost, and could be a dream, it could be happiness, it could be fulfillment, it could be destiny. But whatever it is that you have lost, whatever it is that you have forfeited, maybe you've made some bad decisions and you may have lost some relationships, you may have lost some peace in your life, maybe the devil's just come against you, the enemy of your life and attacked you, and you've lost the joy and the joy of your salvation. But whatever financial, you've lost some things in your life and it seems like it just not being put back together. God wants you to know he's still the God who can give it all back to you. Hallelujah. Come on, say it again. Say, get it all back. This morning, you are here to hear from God, and with your faith, begin to believe that whatever I have lost, I can get it all back. Hallelujah. These two blind men had lost something valuable. They lost something significant and vital to their lives. They had lost their sight, and they were determined to get it back. And I want to pull some things out of this by the help of the Holy Spirit. I was with Pastor Randy this week. My dad and I were with him. We traveled with him, and he was ministering to some pastors, and he began to touch on some of this, and God began to speak to my heart and stamp my heart. And he said, that is your assignment for this weekend, and God began to give me some fresh things about this. So I want you to listen with open ears, open hearts, and hearts ready to receive it. If you believe it, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Appreciate you, sis. Awesome. All right. So here we go. So they had lost something. They were determined to get it back. But what we see right from jump is we see that these two men had faith. They believed that Jesus could change the narrative of their current situation. And this is the thing about being a Christian, is you can't be a Christian without faith. Being an unbelieving believer is a paradox. It is something that really doesn't belong together. We are either believers or we are unbelievers. I don't know about you, but I'm a believer, right? And so faith, they had faith that Jesus could change the narrative of their situation. And so we begin to see that they begin to display that through their actions in the next few verses. They had faith, and faith makes the difference between this year being a year where you win or a year where you lose. Faith makes the difference of whether you overcome, whether you go over, or whether you go under. Faith makes the difference between whether you start thriving or you keep surviving. Come on, somebody. Jesus said many times, according to your faith be it unto you. According to your faith be it unto you. According to your faith, over and over and over, when people came to him and needed something from him, Jesus said, according to your faith be it unto you. And so this is important. Let me just say this one more time. Faith is what makes the difference. It doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your education level is. What makes the difference in your life is, do you have faith in God to change the situation you're in? And this is amazing because it levels the playing field for everybody in the auditorium this morning, that no matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, you can make a decision to begin to believe God, and you are on your way out. Hallelujah. All right, 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So notice, when you have faith in God, you overcome. Come on, this is what the scripture said. When you have faith in God, you overcome. It doesn't matter what opposition comes against you. I feel my help coming in here now. It doesn't matter what problem comes against your life. When you have faith in God, you can overcome. The Bible says, this is the victory. Someone say victory. I don't care if it's a marriage situation. I don't care if it's an emotional situation. I don't care if it's a financial situation. I don't care if it's a depression situation. All I know is, if it's come against you, faith is the victory over it. Hallelujah.
The Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. Yeah, come on. Faith has an attitude. Faith says, you came against me, but you're about to fall down before me. Because if God be for me, nobody can be against me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Faith gets an attitude that says, me and my household shall be saved. Faith has an attitude that says, sickness, you came against me, but Jesus bore my sicknesses, carried away my pains, and by his stripes I am healed. Faith says, I might be broke right now, but my God shall meet all my needs according to his riches in glory. I might be depressed right now, but my God says he turned my sorrow into dancing and my mourning into joy. I wonder if I'm talking to anybody in celebration that has some faith this morning. Hallelujah. Faith overcomes. Faith gives you the victory. Faith shows you that, yeah, by yourself you can't do it, but you and God become the majority. Someone say amen. Let me give you a definition of faith for those of you that think I don't teach in your face. Hallelujah. Right? Sometimes I think we think that teaching depends on volume. Teaching and preaching does not depend on volume. I'm going to preach some and I'm going to teach some. And you know who my example is? Jesus. Because he went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. Can I tell a testimony real quick? Thursday night, a student was playing football before service. He was playing football, came down on his ankle, tweaked his ankle real bad, couldn't hardly walk. I said, bring him in here. Someone told me, someone got it. I said, bring him in here. We're going to pray for him. Amen. And then I said, now get my wife, because I had to get the anointing. You know what I'm saying? Come on, somebody. The Lord told me years ago, he said, when you and your wife pray for people, you'll get a lot more results when you pray together, because the Bible says when you pray in agreement. Come on, somebody. I feel my help coming in here. If two of you on earth agree about anything they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. And so we prayed, and we, in the name of Jesus, we released our faith and we prayed over him. And so we walked away. We released our faith, believe God's moving in him. And we walked away. And then like just a couple of minutes later, he came up to me. His eyes were all big. He said, Pastor Jay, when I heard it pop out there, I couldn't walk. It was black and it was bruised. It was black and purple all over it. He says, after you guys prayed, I looked at it again. All the bruising is gone. Come on. That may not be a big deal to you, but that is my God showing the next generation. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals you. And you know what the student said? He said, I'm going to put that on my Snapchat. I'm going to tell my mom. I'm going to tell everybody about it. Come on, somebody. When the next generation starts telling the world, my God lives. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on, I feel like that deserves about a 10-second shout right there. Somebody give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, you're so white. Oh, my God, I'm just playing. My God, come on, man. Come on, man, we got to get some soul. I'm your pastor. You can't come to this church and not have soul. Come on, man. Come on. Anyway, all right. So let me give you the definition. Let me give you the definition of faith. Someone say faith. Faith is believing God. Now, this is a simple definition. I broke it down. There's more to this, but this is a simple definition for us this morning. Faith is believing God, trusting God, a fully persuaded lifestyle that believes God. Faith is believing that what God said is coming to pass in your life, no matter what you see in the circumstance. For we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. And then four times in the Bible. Once in the Old Testament and three times in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Romans 1:17. Galatians 3:11. And Hebrews 10:36. The just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. So I'm to walk by faith. I'm to live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6 says, and the judge, it says this, it says, he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you can't even please God without faith. So I walk by faith. I live by faith. I please God by faith. 1 John 5:4, I overcome by faith. This is important. And so as a believer, as a Christian, you can't separate the Christian life from faith. Everything we're supposed to do in the Christian life is to be done by faith. I praise in faith. I worship Him in faith. I tithe in faith. I witness to people about Jesus in faith. Ah, come on, somebody. Everything we do, we should be doing. I play golf by faith. Come on, somebody. Come on, man. Some of you wives are like, I'm going to tell my husband he's hot by faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I know y'all didn't laugh, but you wanted. You laughing inside. Hallelujah. You laughing inside. All right, so here we go. So faith is a life that believes God, that is fully persuaded that what God said He will do. Listen to this, man. If you're taking notes, faith makes available what God has provided for you. Faith makes available what God has provided for you. So you could say it like this: faith is the hand that reaches into heaven and brings the realities of heaven into your reality or into your life. Amen? And so when you begin to believe God, you are pulling heaven into your earth. Thy kingdom come. Y'all ain't saying much. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do I get heaven in my earth? Because my earth is jacked up. I see you. Some of y'all come to church and my earth. Okay, thank you, Lord, for heaven. I appreciate you. I'll see you when I get there. But I need some help in the nasty here and now. I need some heaven in my earth. What can bring? How come you look at some Christian? Like, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed coming in. Blessed going out. My kids are blessed. My house is blessed. I don't need your confession. I appreciate your confession. But how come when I look at you, you seem blessed and I seem jacked up? The answer is they got faith to pull heaven into their earth. The difference is, do you believe? Do you believe? Because when you believe, it'll cause you to act different, right? You know, standing up on a stage, talking about, you know, to the people down there, I believe you'll catch me. 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 I believe you. In the name of Jesus, I believe. And they're like, well, then fall. No, you don't really believe. Because if you believe, saying, come on, somebody. Felt like, what's your name on the Titanic? We're going to fall. Trust fall. Because when you believe, it'll cause you to act different than everybody at your job. When you believe, it'll cause you to praise different than the... You, you. Oh, come on, man. Don't leave me up here by myself. Hallelujah. All right, so when you believe, it changes things. It changes your behavior. Mark chapter 5, this shows us that faith makes available what God has provided. Mark chapter 5, you know the story. The woman who had the issue of blood, she was 12 years in that condition. She had tried everything that she had. She spent everything that she had on physicians. And the Bible says she grew no better, but rather grew worse. And so now, have you ever been in that situation where you're doing what you know to do, and the situation in your life's not getting any better? In fact, it's getting worse. This is the situation that the lady that was dealing with that we find here in the scripture. And so we see this. We see that this is, you know, she had tried everything. I don't know if you've heard that Chris Stapleton song, you know, I can't drink you away. I know y'all are saved, but I know you still listen to stuff. I can't drink you away. I tried Jack. I tried gin. I tried all of their friends. But you find out real quickly, there's some stuff you can't drink away. There's some stuff you can't drink away from your life. And the Bible says she was in this state. She tried everything. She had spent everything that she had, grew no better, rather grew worse. Yet all of a sudden, the Bible says she heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, everything began to change for her. And because faith came to her, she started acting on what she was hearing. And the Bible says she pressed through the crowd. A hemorrhaging woman who had been weak for 12 years started pushing strong young men around. Hallelujah. Because when you get in faith, you can do stuff you couldn't do unless you were in faith. She said, my answer's passing by, my healing's passing by, my Savior's passing by. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. And here's what the Bible says. She touched the hem of His garment by faith. Hear me. And when she touched Him by faith, power was released. was released from Jesus because of the touch of faith. And here's why I'm teaching you about faith. Because the Bible says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if the touch of faith brought power into her body, and the Bible says power flowed into her. Thousands of people are touching Jesus, yet power only flowed to the one that was in faith. Faith is the connector between you and the power. The power flowed into her, and the Bible says immediately the flow of blood was stopped. 12 years messed up, 12 years hopeless, but one touch of faith. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody in this building. You say, Pastor, I do believe it's just been so long. It's been years, and I've been doing this, but here's the Bible good news. One touch of faith and power flowed out of Jesus into her body, and immediately the flow of blood was stopped. Here's the thing. If the touch of faith got power from Jesus back then, the touch of faith can get power from Jesus to you today. Right here in this service, you can choose to get in faith, and power begins to power flows when you choose to get in faith and release your faith. Amen? So we see here that faith is making the difference in the two blind men and in the woman who had the issue of blood. I love this. Power flowed. Someone say power. And there's more I could say on that, but I feel like I need to move on. More I want to say about that, but I feel like I want to move on. She touched the hem of his garment. I always wonder why I said the hem. The hem on the rabbinical priest was where all the loose ends of all the strings of fabric, they would be woven into what was called a hem. So all the loose ends of all the loose fabric was tied into this beautiful, beautiful tapestry around the bottom of the hem. And I think this is significant because when she touched the hem of his garment in faith, all the loose ends of her life were too many for her to fix. Come on, somebody. She was separated from her family because she was considered unclean. She couldn't go into society. She was separated. She was isolated. And she was sick. All these different things going on in her life, she couldn't fix them all. But she found out there's a man right there named Jesus who, if I can get to him in faith, come on, somebody, it shows me that Jesus can bring all the loose ends of my life together. If you're in this place today and say, man, there's stuff going on in my mind. There's stuff going on in my emotions. There's stuff going on in my money and in my future, and I don't know how to bring it all together. That's okay, because you can still reach out to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment by faith, and he can begin to bring the loose, oh, come on, somebody. He can begin to bring the loose ends of your life all the way back together. Jesus specializes in bringing the loose ends back together. I wonder if I'm talking to anybody who's ever experienced what I'm talking about. My mind was a mess. I was addicted. I was messed up. But I reached out to Jesus in faith, and he brought all the loose ends together. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. The two blind men followed Jesus. The two blind men followed Jesus. How did two blind men follow Jesus? I love this. They didn't allow, if you're taking notes, write this down. They didn't allow their dysfunction to disqualify them from getting to Jesus. Hallelujah. They didn't allow their dysfunction to disqualify them from getting to their miracle. Many times the devil will say, well, you did this so you can't get to Jesus. You blew it over here so you can't get your miracle. You're messed up here so you can't get it. That's for those other Christians. And he'll lie to you and try to disqualify you and get you out of faith, because he knows if you stay in faith, you're about to see victory in your life. They didn't allow their dysfunction to keep them, to disqualify them from getting to Jesus. Hallelujah. These two blind men show us a very powerful truth. You got to use what you got. You got to use what you got. Come on, man. You got to know. You got to use what you got. You can't worry about what you don't have. You can't worry about what didn't pan out. You can't worry about how things have been going. You just got to make a decision. I can use, these two blind men said, I don't have sight right now, but I'm going to use what I got. Hallelujah. Notice this. I love this. You got to work what you have, church. Because you're not going to have everything. Nobody has everything. Nobody has everything that they need. Everybody's got to use what they have to get to their miracle. Come on, if you believe it, somebody say amen. They said this. They said, we don't have our eyesight right now, but I'm going to use my legs to get to Jesus. I can't see right now, but I can use my ears to get to Jesus. Where'd he go? Did you see where Jesus went? Come on, when you're in faith, you don't care how you look. You just want to get to Jesus. You just want the miracle to come. So I don't have sight, but I can use my legs and I can walk. I don't have sight, but I can use my ears and I can figure out where he's at. It's dark right now. I don't have sight right now, but I can use my voice to call, Son of David, have mercy on me. Come on. There's some of us that need to say this. I'm hurting right now, but I choose to believe I'm going to use what I got. I'm going to use my praise to get God on the scene. Hallelujah. Listen, my money's funny and my bank account is low, but I'm about to tithe and see God show up in my finances. I'm going to use what I got. Listen, I came from a family that is jacked up and my parents didn't know how to treat each other, but I'm going to use what I got. I'm going to get myself under the word. I'm going to learn how to be a man of God. I'm going to learn how to be a woman of God, and we're going to have the best marriage our family has ever seen. I may not have much, but I'm about to use what I got. Come on, somebody. My kids are acting crazy right now, and it looks like they're going to hell, but I'm about to go pray for somebody else's kids, and God show up in my kids. I'm about to use what I got. I may not have everything I need right now, but one thing I found out, David, all I got is a slingshot and a few rocks, but I'm about to use what I got and kill this giant. I wonder if there's anybody here that says, devil, you've been lying to me for my whole life. You don't have. You can't have. You say, shut up, devil. I may not have all that, but I can use what I got. Come on, I wonder if we can take about 10 seconds and use what we got. Come on, some of you are about to get there. I'm about to use my sling. I'm about to use my praise. I'm about to use my worship to see some giants fall. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Got to use what you got. I don't have it all. I don't have everything I need. I'm not fully ready. I'm not fully prepared. But one thing I know is that I can use what I got, and God can use it to bring my miracle to pass. This is what this shows us. This is what this shows us. I love this. Whew, I love this. They weren't complaining about what wasn't working. They were simply using what was working. Their eyes weren't working. And as Christians, we go, God's good. God's good. Well, God, if you're good, how come this happened in my life? God, okay. They say you're good, and I always hear these Christian, you know, weirdos say, God's good all the time, and all the time God is good. But it doesn't feel like you're good all the time to me. Don't be lying in church. Because if you're good, then how come all this stuff happened to me? And God is saying sometimes stuff happened because sin is in the earth. Sin brought the curse, and the curse brought death. So you could say that sickness, disease, malfunction, malady, all of that is the foul offspring of sin and its father, the devil. The devil and sin got together and had a baby, and it's called death. Death is not just the cessation of physical life. Death is everything that hinders your life. You shouldn't think it's strange when stuff comes against you. Death is in the earth. But the Bible says we are in the world, but not of the world. So even though death is operating in the earth, doesn't mean it has to operate in me. All right, come on, are you with me? Okay, so, but this shouldn't, you shouldn't be, whoo, stuff happens. The curse is at work in the earth. Okay, you see this all through humanity, people murdering each other. Rapists and, you know, murderers and all this great wars and rumors of wars and ugly stuff, sex trafficking, all this crazy stuff is happening. Why? That ain't because God is good. God is good, but he's not the result. He's not the one who made that happen. When God gave Adam dominion, I don't even know why I'm teaching on this, but I think it's going to help somebody. God gave dominion to Adam. And when Adam had dominion over the earth and all of it, the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, God gave him dominion over the earth. And God would form something and bring it to Adam, and Adam would call it what it was supposed to be. Read the book of Genesis. Come on, are you with me? This is the wisdom of God. And so he did this. And then when Adam sinned, God had given Adam the lease to the earth. When Adam sinned, the lease of the earth got transferred to Satan. Satan, the Bible says, is the god of this world. This is why bad stuff is happening. But the world is full of darkness. But the Bible says you and I are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. We're not supposed to let the light of Jesus shine through us so that the darkness can look at us and say, wow, look at their peace. Wow, look at their joy. Wow, look at their marriage. Wow, they don't cuss like me. Wow, they don't smoke like me. Wow. Bad stuff happens because that stuff is active in the earth. When bad stuff comes at you, hear me, we got a choice. Either I'm going to let this thing ride or I'm going to use my faith. Because the Bible tells me faith moves mountains. Whosoever shall say unto them, have faith in God. Woo! The answer to almost every question in your life is have faith in. How you gonna make it? Faith in God. How's your marriage gonna get back together? Faith in God. How you gonna get set free from that addiction? Faith in God. How you gonna get free from that sickness? Faith in God. How you gonna pay the bills? Faith in God. Come on, somebody. Faith, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things that he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Faith still moves mountains. There's not a mountain in your life that faith in God cannot remove. Hallelujah. So this is it. Is this helping anybody so far? But it is a choice to believe the word of God and then begin to speak the word of God and act like the word of God is coming to pass in your life. It'd be amazing how many marriage problems could be turned around. And there's no judgment here, because even though I'm a pastor, we still human. And I still am being perfected. But it's amazing, the more we grow in Jesus, it's easier to get over what used to take us a long time to get over. Because we just both look to Jesus and then go, oh, snaps. I was not acting like Jesus right there. And I know, I knew it. You ever be like in an argument and the Holy Spirit's saying, you're going down the wrong path. Just say sorry. Just say it's okay. Just say it was my bad. I repent. And I'm like, shh. You know what I'm saying? Come on, somebody. Right? I mean, you don't say that, but you just keep on going. The Holy Spirit trying to lead you in path of light. And you just, you know, trip over yourself. And then you go, it's my bad. I repent. It's amazing. But it's amazing. Listen, man. It's amazing. If we started acting like our significant other was the way we were believing that they were. So if I started treating my wife like she was the one who was treating me with such honor and such respect, which she does, but if even on days where maybe she had this or that, I start treating her that way, and I start preferring her and deferring to her and acting in faith like she is who I want her to be and who I may need her to be, it's amazing what happens, because my behavior changes what's going on in her. Wives, oh, y'all get quiet. Maybe we need to have a marriage seminar. Amen. Wives begin to treat the husband like he is the man of God. You know, we get caught up in like, you know, like, it's even funny, man. I feel it like in marriage ceremonies where it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Like, you see the wife like that, but her eyes get all big. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean, submit? What do you mean, submit? You know, it's like a bad word in today's society, submit. But the reason why a wife would want to submit, I get it. People not wanting to submit to someone else who's a jerk. Y'all ain't saying too much, but I'm helping somebody. Amen. Come on, God's in your grits right now. Hallelujah. Listen, man. So no one wants to submit to a jerk or to some selfish fascist pig. Come on, somebody. Did the pastor just say that? Sure enough did. Right? Because they use the Bible as a way to control their wife. That's not God. That is not God. The Bible said the husband is to submit to God, and then you submit one to another. And the reason why the wife would want to submit to the husband is because the husband should be treating the wife as he nourishes and cherishes his own body. He should be doing that for her as Christ loves the church and gave himself for the church. If the wife knows you're willing to give her life for you, she'll have no problem submitting to you. Is anybody listening to me? In other words, guys, if we will choose to pursue Jesus and look a little bit more like him every day, there'll be no problems. And if there is a problem, he'll help you get over it really quickly. It's amazing how that kind of beauty and that kind of humility and that kind of submission comes out of the wife when the man of God is doing what the man of God should be doing. It works the way God designed it. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? So like telling each other, you're supposed to submit to me. It's not going to work. Don't do that. Don't say that. She's not going to respond to that. It ain't working. All right. So anyway, it's not a marriage conference, but here's what I am saying. If we choose to submit to God together, love God together, it'll be amazing how it works the way God designed it. And if there are issues, which there will be, you will be sharpened. You will be strengthened to overcome them. And when you look back on them, you'll be stronger because of it. Somebody say amen. All right. Let me make just a few more statements here. Is this helping anybody so far? All right, cool. So you've heard me say this, I think. They weren't complaining about what wasn't working. They were using what was working. Quit looking at what you don't have and start working what you do have. Okay? Everybody has what you need to see God's miracle in your life. All right? Notice this. Oh, I love this. Write this down if you're taking notes. God doesn't need what you don't have to get you where he wants you to be. Jesus, mighty God. Don't let that slip over your head. Take notes. Write this down. Look at this through the week. God doesn't need what you don't have to get you where he wants you to be. If you don't, oh, God. Whew. Let me show you. Moses, leader of God's people, didn't have enough money, didn't have a great army. Didn't even know where he was going. He just knew God said, go to Pharaoh, said, let my people go. I'm a stutterer. Sound like Chris Rock. Come on, somebody. Up in here. Let my people go, Chris Rock. Let my people go. Let them go, Pharaoh. Let them go. Give a brother a break. Come on, somebody, right? Like, let them go. And he said, okay, I'll let you go. They start leaving. He doesn't have a great army. He didn't have the money that he needs. He didn't have direction. Don't even know where he's going. All he's got is a stick. So all he's got is a stick. Pharaoh's chasing him. Greatest army on the planet, chasing God's people, getting ready to take them back bondage. And Moses said, I don't have the smarts. I don't have the money. I don't even know where we're going. But God, I'm doing what you asked me to do. So I'm about to give you this stick. Come on, somebody. Moses didn't complain about what he didn't have. He just said, God, here's what I got. You got to use what I got. And the Bible said he stretched that out to God. The Red Sea parted. The children of Israel walked around dry ground and drowned all of Pharaoh and all of his army. And he said, this enemy you shall see no more forever. You got to use what you got. Use the money that you got. Tithe. Be a giver. Use the time that you got. Get off Facebook and Instagram and twit face and start praying. Use what you got and God can do a miracle in your life. Got to use what you got. There's another thing I could say, but I'll move on just for the sake of time. 2 Kings, there was a widow woman. Husband had died. She had a son. She was singing Beyonce, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. She wasn't doing that. just trying, you know what I'm saying, just trying to keep y'all alert. You know, she's out there. It's a famine. People are dying. People are dying. There's a famine. There's no food. And the creditors are coming to take her sons. She's in debt. So much so that creditors would come and take the sons because they were a mean of financial resource in that day. They would become servants. They would become slaves. So the creditors were coming to take her sons, and the man of God shows up and said, hey, we're talking about using what you have. For God to do a miracle in your life, you're going to have to use what you have. Someone say amen. The man of God comes and he says, what do you have in your house? What do you have? And you know what she said first? Nothing. Life sucks. It's cold in these streets. Come on, somebody. Oh, Lord. She said, nothing. And the man of God asked again, what do you have? Because it's amazing how the enemy will try to make you think you don't have what you need. So the man of God asked her again, what do you have? She said, just a little bit of oil in a jar. And when she started using what she had, God filled several other jars. The oil never stopped flowing. She sold the oil. She got enough to pay her debts and live on for the rest of her life. God gave her a financial and a provision miracle because she stopped complaining about what she didn't have and she started using what she did have. It's amazing what happens when we simply start using what we have. All through the Bible, the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, not enough food, they're starving, they're going to faint on the way back into town. And they said, we don't have anything except the little boy's lunch. Come on, somebody. Except the little boy's lunch. And when they put that little boy's lunch in Jesus' hands, we got nothing but this little boy's lunch. Then Jesus did a miracle of provision and breakthrough and increase because they put what they had. They worked with what they had and got a miracle for everybody. Because there's power in using what we have and seeing God do a miracle in our lives. Now, write this down. Don't forget this. If you don't have it, then God doesn't need it to do your miracle. Whoo, write that down. Tweet that, somebody. If you don't have it, then God doesn't need it to do your miracle. Whoo, I remember when I was just 18 years old. I was getting ready to go to Rhema. And I went to this conference in Fresno, and there was a man of God speaking there, and at the end of it, I was so compelled to give, I didn't have anything. I had my best clothes on, but I didn't have anything to give in the offering, but I had my nice watch on. In high school, I was all about my appearance, my image, being popular, all of that, having the nicest stuff, being in the in crowd, the whole thing. I was so insecure that I had to have all those things to make myself feel good about being me. Somebody like, oh my God, you just described me. Oh my God. Come on, if God delivered me, he can deliver you. I'm not saying I'm perfect in that either. We all fight that line of being God. No, my identity comes from you. Come on, somebody. Right, but this is where I was at, and God was setting me free, and I was really beginning to give my life to him. And God, whatever you want, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And so I was in this conference, and I didn't have any money. So I took my nice watch off. It took me a long time to buy it. And I put it in the offering. And it hurts so good. Come on, somebody. You know, I'm not going to tell you. I was like, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I was hurting when I left that service, man. Like, God, I spent a lot of money on that watch. It took me a long time to buy that watch. So I did it. And then the next night I'm there, and I have my nice belt on that took me a long time to purchase. I'm like, God, what are we doing here? But I was so hungry for God. And I so wanted to give. The Bible says I'll give nothing to God that doesn't cost me something. If you never give to God until where it hurts, you're not even giving biblically. Y'all, all my amens went whoop. But that's Bible truth. If you never give to where it hurts and it makes you uncomfortable, you're not even giving biblically. David said, I won't give to God what doesn't first cost me something. And if God gets a bunch of believers in church, a church where we start giving sacrificially until it hurts, and we're doing that in faith to God, not out of pressure of a man, but out of the leadership of the Holy Spirit to give and to be a part of something greater than ourselves and see more people saved and see more families helped, I'm telling you, watch out. Miracles break out when people start using what they have. Somebody say amen. When I did that, it began to open up my future. Things begin to get paid off. School got paid off. Vehicles got paid for. Different things begin to happen in my life. Not as a result of me being special, but as a result of saying, God, I don't have much, but what I have, you can have. Amen? Amen. All right, my last thing. So we see then that faith is what made the difference in these two men's life. Faith is what made the difference in the woman with the issue's life. Faith is what made the difference in the widow with the oil's life. Faith is what made the difference in Moses' life when they just said, God, I'm going to use what I have to do what you've called me to do. The last thing I want to talk to you about is this. Genesis chapter 18, and I believe verse 14. The verse that we like to quote, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? But right before this scripture in the narrative, it was where God was promising Abraham and Sarah a promised child. And Sarah was barren for 90 years. She's 90 years old. God's promising her a child, the son, a promised son, from whom all the nations of the world would come through that. And the Bible says that when God promised Abraham, Sarah was in the tent. God visited Abraham in the tent. Sarah was in the back part of the tent. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says Sarah laughed. She had already gone into the flesh and had Abraham lay with one of her female servants to bring her a son. She so wanted a child that she had her husband lay with one of her servants so that her servant could have her a child. And it, of course, it ended up bad. I don't have time to go into it. But that child fought against the promised child, because when we do stuff by the arm of the flesh, come on, somebody, and don't wait on God's timing, it'll always mess up what God's trying to do in our lives. Listen, some of you, God has what you're believing for, but you're trying to get it too quickly. If Abraham and Sarah would have just waited on God, they would have never had the battle between those two nations that started out of those two sons. Anytime we do something out of God's timing, you could have the what God wants you to do, but if you don't have the when God wants you to do it, wait till God gives you the go-ahead. Amen? That's for somebody in here. And so anyways, they did this, and here's what happened. She laughed in unbelief. It had been so painful. She had her husband having a child with another woman. Who does that except someone who is so lonely, so low, because they couldn't produce a child? She's going through this all of her life, not been able to produce a son, even be called in that culture what people looked at as a real woman. Hurting. God gives her the promise, and it's laughable. She laughs in unbelief at the promise of God. You ever been to a place in your life where it's almost laughable, the promise of God? Because you look at your situation and you go, God, how in the world could you do what you're promising me to do? This is where she was. But the good news is, if you've ever been there, and I believe we've all been there at one point or another, I believe that's why God shows us Sarah. We've all been there at one point or another where we're hurting, we're in pain, we're believing God, but then the promise of God comes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to provide. I'm going to heal. I'm going to, and it, your heart wants to believe it, but that soulish part of you almost laughs at the promise of God. The good news is that she laughed in unbelief, but in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Sarah conceived strength to receive a child. So she moved out of laughing. How many of you know? Unbelief is one thing, but laughing in unbelief? You know what I'm saying? Huh? Come on, somebody. Right? Laughing in unbelief. But somehow, somewhere along the way, she moved from laughing in unbelief. She moved over into faith and received her miracle promise by faith. If you've been at that place where you have been laughing in unbelief, it's been so painful, it's been so hard, the good news is you can move from that place and move over back into faith and receive your miracle by faith in God. Come on, Peter started out in faith, sunk in unbelief, reached out to Jesus. Jesus pulls him back up. He's in faith, walking on water, experiencing a miracle. I love this, because if we're serious, if we're truthful, we've all started out in faith in some areas and maybe wavered. Come on, somebody. And Jesus was there, right there, to pick us back up, get us back in faith, and allow us to receive by faith. So don't be discouraged if you've been in that place, because I want you to know God is pleased by faith, but I also want you to know that God is compassionate. If you've fallen into doubt momentarily, into unbelief momentarily, it's never okay. It's never what we want to do. It's never what we preach to do. Come on, son. It's never what the Bible says to do. But the Bible also tells me, if you fall, when you fall, you shall arise. Hallelujah. And so I love this. My last point. These two blind men had lost their sight, but they came to Jesus. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And notice this. Put that scripture up there if you can, that says that their sight, about their sight, in the NIV, I think it's verse 30. And their sight was restored. Someone say restored. Restored. That means at one time in their life they had sight. Because in order for something to be restored, it means you once had to have it. Their faith allowed God to bring their sight back to them. Your faith in God can allow you to get it all back. Your family, your dream, your finances, your destiny, your provision, your blessing, a burning relationship with Jesus. I'm here to tell you, this is God's word to us this morning. Church, we can get it all back if we'll get back in faith. Yes. Hallelujah.
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 I said we can get it all back if we get in faith. Come on, if you bow your heads and you close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I just want you to lift your hands and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Secondly, you say, you know what? I've known God, but I'm far from him. On the count of three, you just lift your hands and we're going to pray with you. Either one of those invitations, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, or maybe you're just far from God. You need to get some things right between you and him. He's here with open arms. If that's you, on the count of three, lift him up. One, two, three, lift him up. Yes, 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 yes. All over the place, all over the place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God. Come on, let's say it like we mean it. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. By your grace, with your help, I turn away from my old ways, and I turn to you. I believe whatever I've lost, whatever I forfeited, I choose today to get in faith, to believe, to declare, I get it all back. I get it all back in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's rejoice, church. Come on, if you believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet this morning? We're so grateful that you've come. I'm believing that the word of God has brought faith to you, brought encouragement to you, sharpened you maybe in some areas, and just allowed areas of darkness that the enemy's tried to bring through the week to begin to just leave and get away from your mind. We declare that this week is going to be a week of victory for you, that you're going to see, you're going to overcome, you're going to see God do great things in your life. Keep the switch of faith turned on, and there is nothing impossible to them that believe. Father, we thank you for a week of victory. God, I thank you for your presence upon each and every person under the sound of my voice. God, I thank you that you'll draw us by your Holy Spirit to read your word, to declare your word, to stand and to walk and to live by faith. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.